across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Just to prove it can be done, she's beaten the Mill Road roadworks and joined us in the studio, Sarah Tucker from CKLG. Morning, Sarah.
Morning, Neil.
It's a bit of a trick out there at the moment, isn't it?
It certainly is, and I'm just desperately hoping that... I know there's about two or three speed cameras that I was sticking to the speed limit.
No.
But anyway, we're here.
You are.
And we managed to get through most of the lights on green, so that's good news.
Because it is. It always conspires against you, doesn't it? That's it. Never let anything electrical or mechanical know you're in a hurry.
No, definitely.
Traffic lights will always go, oh, just a moment. Breathe and pause.
Absolutely, and never underestimate the delays that Cambridge traffic can cause you.
Did you know? I mean, this is Linda Ness is sitting next door in Studio B, and one morning when we were doing breakfast together, we both came in the same way through Maddingley Road, and we did a comparison. We counted the number of traffic lights from the M11 junction at Maddingley Road to here in Gwydir Street. 22 sets of traffic lights. And did you know there's 148 sets of traffic lights in Cambridge?
Gosh, that means
it's nothing goes anywhere.
No. Everyone must have been sat almost stationary. Absolutely crawling to be able to count them all.
It explains everything, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Anyway, we haven't really had a chance to brief the audience on what we're talking about, but it's inheritance tax, and more importantly, some changes to inheritance tax are going on. Tell us about that. What's afoot?
Well, in early 2018, Philip Hammond, the then Chancellor of the Exchequer, decided that our inheritance tax legislation needed simplification. I have to say, as an advisor, I am with him, but
right.
Of course, what does come with simplification is more words and more paper and probably a larger act. So we'll wait and see what does come. But I think it's interesting, inheritance tax, because it's been a tax that's been around for about 300 or so years in various guises. We've had estate duty, capital transfer tax.
Mm-hmm.
It became inheritance tax in 1984. And it's been imposed at various points in history to collect taxes to pay off government debt, to raise money against the wars with Napoleon. It's been levied on personal effects, it's been levied on land, and of course what we now have is it's pretty much levied on death, on the value of everything we own.
Absolutely everything you own.
Yeah, absolutely, less anything we owe to somebody else, any liabilities we have.
You've paid your taxes all the way through your life, yeah. But just as you pop your clogs, one last bill from the government, is that right?
Absolutely, and it hits at a really sensitive time for families, because, you know, they're grieving, and it can absolutely hit with some unexpected bills. And that's because, actually, we don't just have to value what somebody owns on their death. We also have to look at what they've given away over the last 7 years.
Right, so it is a very much a retro... Because a lot of people do try and do that, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
So where do we stand at the moment, and then what are the proposed changes?
Well, at the moment, when somebody passes away, the executors who would be appointed in somebody's will have to value what that person's worth as at the date of their death. And then they take off anything that the deceased owed to anybody, mortgages, for example,
mm-hmm.
and the net estate is liable to inheritance tax at 40%. Now, what they also have to do is to look back over the last 7 years and work out the value of what's been given away in excess of exemptions, and they're what we call lifetime exemptions, and they're amounts that you can give away completely free of inheritance tax and forget about them.
Right, so if you've got children, and they're going, oh, Dad, I'm really struggling at university. And you go, oh, for goodness sakes. You know, just here's a check. Here is a check. Go away.
Absolutely.
Of stuff's all fine.
Yeah, it is.
But, up to a certain level.
But there's limits. And at the moment, everybody can give away £3,000, which is not much.
I was going to say, that really isn't much, is it?
And do you know, it's been that limit for about the last 20-odd years. So really, you know, we need a reform there.
Yeah.
So we've got £3,000. And get this one, Neil. You can also give £250 only to a number of recipients, but actually that can add up. If we've got the 3,000 and then you give away the 3,000 is a total per donor, the £250 is per recipient.
Right.
So if you have a very generous old, for want of a better word, that has lots of lovely relatives and maybe godchildren and lovely friends that they want to see their way to helping, then that £250 per person can add up. Gifts to charities during your lifetime and also on death are exempt from tax.
Right.
And the most valuable exemption, which I hasten to say they have said they're going to look into, is giving away excess income. Because, of course, excess income has already been taxed.
Mm.
And if we save it, then it could be liable to inheritance tax. So we're then paying tax again taxed income.
Oh, for goodness.
But if people can work out if they have spare income, and actually our sort of current generation of baby boomers do probably have, perhaps I'm generalising, but if they actually look at it, they probably do have spare income. If they make a habit of giving away their spare income, and it's income they don't need, they make a habit of doing it, and they form a pattern, and it doesn't cause them to spend any capital, then those payments are exempt from tax at the point they're made. Now, what we see is clients use this exemption for helping perhaps pay school fees, university fees.
So grandparents paying school fees and things on behalf of grandchildren.
And it's generally helping, you know, the younger generation just to give them a leg up in life. You know, they're the ones that are struggling to get on the property ladder. They're struggling to maybe get jobs. They're struggling with the cost of university. Yeah. The living allowance by no means covers the cost of going to university.
It is a bit of a balancing act, isn't it? Because
completely.
For older people nowadays, all this stuff about, you know, residential care and everything, you don't want to be giving all your money away, or otherwise suddenly you find they're making you sell your house to pay for it. So you need to keep some cash about.
And that is absolutely key, Neil, and thank you for reminding me that. What everybody has to do is to look at what they need now and what they're going to need in the future, because residential care is blooming expensive as well. Everything has to be looked at in the round. And what we tend to do at CKLG is talk to our clients and guide our clients all along the way. We do their tax returns. We talk about potential liability to inheritance tax. We talk about how they can mitigate it by using these exemptions that are available during a lifetime. And just generally every year, sometimes every 2 years, we have these discussions and we try and manage it. You know, I have a client who gives me the most amazing number of schedules every year, and he's so articulate that his executors are going to thank him forever,
really,
because
it's
he's kept such detailed records about his lifetime exemptions. And if you think about it, those 7 years, these executors have to look back 7 years.
I was going to say, that's really, because that's birthdays and weddings and christenings and everything. You've got to go through all that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, funnily enough, there is a special exemption for weddings. So a parent giving to a child on marriage, you can give away 5,000. A grandparent, 2,500. Anybody else, 1,000. So that's another exemption.
Okay.
But the proposals at the moment are there's lots of these little exemptions available. We've just talked about them. What they want to do is to try and first of all set it at a more realistic level, which would be most welcome, and try and wrap up everything up into one personal gift allowance, which makes a lot of sense. But let's be realistic about the value. You know, the 3,000 has been there since the early 80s. You know, that's not realistic. And also another thing they want to do is have executors only look back 5 years rather than 7 years. Now, 5 years is still a long time,
Especially because nowadays people don't tend to have paper bank statements.
No,
you get stuff on your
it's
phone.
It's all electronic. Like,
everything's electronic, which, in one way, if you can get the login, makes it easier. If you can't get the login, you are snookered, aren't you?
There's, absolutely.
And it's also a bit... Do people plan? I guess if you're diagnosed with an illness, and God forbid, you know, there's this talk of, you know, 1 in 3 of us suffering from cancer, 1 in 2 within a decade.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Do you make provision? And if you do make that provision, then you've got to time it so accurately. And if you get it wrong, it's a nightmare.
It's difficult. It is difficult. And you know, we do have very sadly clients who come in and say they're not well and they do need to put planning in place, and there is planning that you can do, but first of all we do look to try and maximise the exemptions that are available. Failing that, the last resort always is perhaps an insurance policy, and that's where we wheel in an independent financial advisor. You know, if the client doesn't want to have their children faced with, or their estate faced with, an inheritance tax bill, then there's always a last resort of insuring against the liability.
Right. And what are the biggest catches that people fall foul of? What are the misconceptions that people have about this? That, if I give it all to my firstborn, he's fine and there's nothing. Are there things that are, you know, are there routes that you can do and routes that you can't do, or are people getting it all wrong?
I think one thing that, certainly for me, that I've seen is that when people are given assets or amounts of cash during during somebody's lifetime, you have to just be mindful of the other taxes involved. Cash is fine, other than potentially inheritance tax and a seven-year clock at the moment. But if maybe grandma decides to then give grandson an investment property that she's owned, she doesn't need the income anymore. She's thinking inheritance tax planning. The rental income can help towards child's education costs. There's capital gains tax implications in doing that, of course. And of course, you know, one thing that shouldn't ever be forgotten about is that at the moment, again, a big caveat here, assets are uplifted to their market value as at date of death. So maybe if grandma just hung on to that asset and then willed this property to the grandson on her death, the capital gain disappears completely.
Right.
But again, that's something that in the Office of Tax Simplification's recommendations to the Treasury Ministers is that they want to, that capital gains tax-free uplift is going to be reviewed where reliefs are available. Now, when I talk about reliefs, when you've got a husband and wife situation, who most wills just leave to the surviving spouse, there's a spousal exemption, which means that the tax won't be payable until the second death. And also, if you've got a business or a farm, for example, there's business property relief available, providing all the conditions are satisfied, and also agricultural property relief available for farmers. Lots of conditions to satisfy as ever.
Yeah.
But what the Chancellor wants to do, or not the Chancellor, this is the Office of Tax Simplification.
I didn't even, you know, until you told me that, I didn't know there was one.
Oh, yeah. It just means more paper.
Yeah, sure. You can imagine they must roll in the morning and think, completely. Oh, good, let's start writing.
But what they've suggested is that maybe this capital gains tax-free uplift is abolished where a relief is available. So what that means is that if then the recipient of an asset that qualifies for a relief during when they inherit it on somebody's death, and if they then sell it soon after, there might not have been an inheritance tax bill, but there'll be a capital gains tax bill instead. So who knows where we're going to go with all this? And of course, you know, all these recommendations, on the face of it, it all makes sense. Let's simplify.
It does. It
let's
sounds like it's a vote winner, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But I bet there'll be a sting in the tail.
The devil's
and
always
in the
detail.
9 times out of 10, exactly, it will cost the taxpayer money. And funnily enough, I was looking last night just at the graph of inheritance tax take over the last 20 years or so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're predicting in excess of $5 billion this year.
And that's actually on a stagnant property market. In fact, some areas are falling.
That's on a stagnant property market, yeah, absolutely.
Investment returns are zero on everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's what they're predicting this year. Now, 10 years ago, it was half that. But it's interesting because 10 years ago, but prior to 10 years, actually, it was higher. Because, of course, at that point, early, it was 2008, 2007-ish. We had the financial crash then, and also property prices dipped. And at that point, the government allowed what we call a nil rate band, which is that everyone's allowed to have 325,000.
Right.
And it never used to be transferred to the surviving spouse. But in 2007, they permitted that. So, of course, that again dropped the tax take.
Sure.
But it was an interesting that, you know, this blip, 2007, we all know what happened in 2007, but it was certainly a sort of blip in.
You might have another one coming soon, mightn't we?
There might be another one. So it will be really interesting to observe it. And not many estates do pay inheritance tax, but of course it is the most unpopular tax and people don't want to pay it.
No.
So people do plan, people do give away, but all I would say is that, you know, make use of those exemptions while they're still with us. It is going to change. Document everything to make your executor's life easier, and do what you can do to try and reduce that inheritance tax bill, but don't leave yourself short, because as we know,
this is really one of those situations where I would recommend nobody Google it. Just don't talk to somebody who knows, because this does sound like a minefield. And I can imagine, interestingly, we've had a lady from HMRC in a few times, and yeah, there's big changes afoot at HMRC, regional offices closing here, there and everything. It's all, you can imagine from their point of view, the last thing they need is all this nonsense coming in with, oh, well, there's this allowance, but then there's this charge. Yeah. They need it simpler. just to, for a computer to be able to, or an office junior to be able to just punch in the numbers and it comes up with a figure. It sounds unnecessarily complicated at the moment, or just it's just that bits of legislation and bits of taxation have come together, and this is, people have more complicated lives than they used to have.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, 300 years ago, you know, we saw these taxes sort of starting to be levied, and you know, some of the rules that we've got now would have been effective even back then, and it does need. You know, it does need a bit of a radical overhaul. We've got Brexit coming up. We don't know when we're going to have the next budget. It will be end of October. I don't think so. Probably early November.
Right.
You know, and if there's a change of government, the opposition have a totally different view over inheritance tax. So we can only work with what we know at the moment.
But
I mean, we are working towards, which is a good thing, there being a £1 million nil rate band.
Right.
Providing you've got residential property that you leave to the next generation, you have to leave your house to your children, in other words. So with the nil rate band at 325, and that's been static for the last 10 years, but we are going to see a rise in line with CPI from next April. The residence nil rate band goes up to £175,000 per spouse from next April. So if my maths is right, that gets us to £1 million after April 2020, which is what the current government did promise us.
Okay.
A few years ago.
No sign of an election coming up,
no.
Is there?
No.
Stay with us, because you've got some employment news of your own to get through. We'll take the travel news on the track, and then we'll come back to Sarah Tucker from CKLG. My studio guest is Sarah Tucker from CKLG. We've been talking about inheritance tax, and thank you for that. If nothing else, it's made it all the more obvious that you need to speak to an accountant, basically. That's the message we're getting across. And talking of accountancy, you've got some vacancies up for grabs, Sarah, is that right?
We have, yes. If I haven't sort of put everybody off over the last sort of 10 minutes or so prattling on about inheritance tax, hopefully I've made it actually sort of quite interesting. And
for those in the industry, for those in the business, actually, it's what you do, and it is interesting
for
you guys, isn't it?
And it's always there, and there's nothing more certain than death and taxes, to coin a well-known phrase.
Sure.
You know, we have the legislation changing every year through the budget. We have consultations that the government like to sort of chew over. We have test cases that go through the court, and all of this forms our legislation, for which we obviously have to comply with and do the right thing.
So it's never a dull day at your place.
There's never a dull day. It is extremely interesting, and it's a moving world. And if anybody is interested in a career in tax, we are recruiting at the moment. We're looking for a tax trainee to join our friendly team. We're a small team based out at Quay. We are a team that are primarily made up of probably bigger firm people, that are now, we're sort of all working together in a very sort of united way as a small team. But we're looking for an A-level trainee to come and join us.
Right, so that's someone fresh out of school then.
Fresh out of school.
So you don't need any
absolutely.
Particular accountancy qualifications.
No,
this is just someone with...
No, we're looking at really A-level results for next week. And in an ideal world, you know, we'd like somebody to sort of come along with three A-level sort of good passes.
Are they relevant ones, like maths and English, or would just three passes do?
To be honest, in my opinion, three passes would do. Hmm. I think maths would be an advantage. But equally, I have an 18-year-old son at home who's really struggled through his maths, bless him. But don't, please...
You're looking
please
at an apply. A-level maths failure. Straight in front
no,
of you.
No, hopefully I'm not. Bless him. He's worked
very hard.
I am.
Oh,
well, there you go.
Yeah, failed miserably.
Oh, dear. He has worked very hard, so I'm just keeping my fingers crossed for him. But yeah, no, we're looking for an or a graduate, anybody that fancies the world of tax, really, or accounting. You know, we've got the accounting function going on at the moment, but we are looking for a tax trainee. And we'll put you through the Association of Tax Technicians exam, and you could become qualified and become a member of the Chartered Institute of Tax, which is a very
respectable
qualification.
That's a great route in, isn't it? That's it. It's a kind
it
of setting
is.
Up for life, really,
absolutely.
In that way, isn't it?
No, absolutely.
As you say, tax isn't going to go away.
It's not going to go
so
away.
So it's like a job for life, isn't it? If you can be a tax advisor, you're away.
It keeps you on your toes as well, because it's forever changing.
If people want to apply, what do they need to do? What do they need to send in? Or is it just an email to start with?
Have a look at our website. It's all on there. We've actually got two vacancies. We're also looking for a qualified and experienced senior as well. Working part-time, full-time, whatever hours you like, they're in incredibly flexible at CKLG, and we like to make sure that we put sort of life first and work. We work around our lives, which is fantastic.
And of course, you're out of Cambridge, so that is absolutely a bonus for
parking.
Everybody.
We have lovely green fields.
Yeah, you're just down the road from Anglesey Abbey.
We are. A shop locally that sells chocolate. Yeah, exactly.
It's absolutely perfect. Well, there we go. So there we are. If you're interested and if you're waiting on your A-level results and they turn out just how you're looking, then go to cklg.co.uk and you'll find all the details there. Sarah, it's been lovely to see you.
Thank you very much.
So you're going to start and make that mammoth exercise back down Mill Road now, are you? You need to make sure you use the loo before you go.
Thank you.
Take plenty of bottled water with you because you could be there forever. You might want to pick up a snack because you'll probably get back to the office mid-afternoon, I would think.
And a newspaper, I think, as well.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
So there we are. Sarah Tucker from CKLG. Thank you very much indeed for coming in this morning and have a safe journey. We'll see you again. Next month, we should see you then. You might as well just stay here, to be honest.